Friday the 4th of January, Kofar Vov Teves, Ravi David Abakasis, The Meaning of Golus Mitzrayim.
Good morning to everyone. I'd like to explore with you, through the eyes of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Haim Lutzatzer and the Ari HaKadosh, which are very much connected to the two together, the meaning of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us in the Medrash Rabbah, right at the beginning on Bereishis, it talks about the Haaretz Hayta Toyehu Vavoyehu V'Choshech Al Penei Tehom. Chazal tell us that those words are references to the four Galiyot, the four different exiles, the Babylonian, the Greek, the Roman, the Persian. So the Ari HaKadosh immediately asks a question. He says, hold on, why are we missing one of the most important of all exiles, the Egyptian exile? Why is the Torah not referring it? And more, says the Maharal of Prague, says, why does the Torah have to hint and refer to the four exiles right at the beginning of the Chumash, the beginning of creation? And the Maharal of Prague learns from there that the whole purpose of creation was Klal Yisrael, and obviously this is part of the divine plan. So how can we miss out Mitzrayim? Throughout the Torah, Mitzrayim, Exodus, is mentioned no less than 50 times. And we have a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't have a mitzvah to remember the Golus of Babel. We don't have a mitzvah to remember the Golus of Yavon. But Mitzrayim, we have a mitzvah to remember it twice a day, in the morning, the evening. Plus, when it came to Mitzrayim, after we were redeemed, we were commanded, you mustn't go back to Mitzrayim. No one tells us that after we left Babel, we're not allowed to go to Babel. In fact, Hazal tells you that the Yidden that was in Babel had to stay in Babel. They shouldn't go. So as a hakdama, as an introduction to explain this, the Ramchal tells us, and I'll read you, and this is from Dat Tuvunot, and I'll read you his words. V'tir'i. The exile of Egypt, there never was an exile like it, and there will never be an exile like it. Shehayu Yisrael meshukaim ba'avoda. All Jews were enslaved in hard labor. Velo haisa Torah, there was no Torah. Velo hayu Yisrael uman ifdelet behukotecha u'mitzvotecha kayom hazeh. And the nation were not distinguished from other people by virtue of their commandments, their mitzvahs. Ve'lo hayu b'nei adam makirim shemo shel ha'adon baruch hu. The world at that stage did not recognize the Creator, did not recognize Hashem. Kelal ve'ikar, at all. That is what made that galus more difficult than any other galus. Omnam, ata, now. Hine yesh Torah. We've got Torah. We're in Golus, but we've got Torah. Ve'alken afalpisha anachnu begalut, and even though we may be suffering, lo yikare zeman shel toihu, you can't call it the period of toihu. Kemo shekar'u lishnei ha'alafim harishonim. Chazal tells us the whole of history of mankind is divided into three periods. The first 2,000 are called Tohu, void, empty. There was no Torah in the world. The next 2,000 are called the 2,000 years of Torah. And the final 2,000 are called the 2,000 years of the Messianic era. So the first 2,000, when the Gol of Mitzrayim took place, was empty of Torah, was a period of void that made that Gol all that more difficult to bear. Kiyesh haTorah, today we have the Torah, Kama Shabiyanu, Shekivan Nitna Min HaShamayim, Vehina Biyadenu, it's in our hands, no one can take it away, Leolam Ulolmei Olamim, it's there forever, Toyda Lakel Baruch Hashem, Ushmo Shel Adon Baruch Hu Noda Ba'amim, and the nations of the world know God. They know Hashem. In the Western world where we live, there isn't a person who doesn't know the Old Testament, they all know Yetziat Mitzrayim, they all know what the Yidden are, and one can reason sometimes with other nations to explain what our mission is and what we are there for. That did not exist in Mitzrayim, and that made it a lot more difficult. I once said this in another context, and there was a Yid there, now to Yid, who suffered in the Holocaust, and he came to me afterwards and he says to me, he took a little bit of offense, he said, but you don't know what the Holocaust was. And I said, I'm not undermining the Holocaust in any way, Chas v'Sholom. Maybe the physical suffering of the Holocaust perhaps was a lot greater than Mitzrayim, but you had a Torah, you had a heritage, there were Yidden all over the world, so the other Jews will survive, Torah will survive, the heritage will survive. We're not undermining the suffering then, we're just explaining in a global way that Mitzrayim it was in a different context. Within a context of no Torah, no heritage there, and no people. And the world did not know who Hashem is. The Ari HaKadosh is something similar. And again, the Ari HaKadosh tells us as follows. He says, all the exiles are all representing one letter of the name of Hashem. And he says, it starts with the Yud, Bovel, and then he goes on to the Hayes. He says, where's Mitzrayim? He says, Mitzrayim is so, the magnitude of the meaning of Mitzrayim is so great, has no comparison at all to all the Galiot, he says, and therefore it's represented by what Hazal called Koitzah Shel Yud, the little tail of the Yud at the top, when the Yud should have a little, sticks out a little bit. That Koitzah Shel Yud, and that represents Golus Mitzrayim. And again, the Ari HaKadosh tells us, well, the Ramchal tells us, that there never was and will never be a Golus like Mitzrayim. And I personally don't think that they necessarily mean physical suffering, but it means in the context which the Ramchal put in the spiritual context of the background. So to understand the meaning, the Ramchal tells us a hakdoma, an introduction, and explains why we needed to be in Mitzrayim. And if you think about it, as a nation, you couldn't say we had sinned, and therefore we needed punishment, and therefore we were sent to Mitzrayim to be punished. This was a promise that Hashem had made to Avraham before the Jewish people even existed, that they would be enslaved in Egypt. So how can you tell me it's punishment? Says Ramchal as follows, and this is in Derech Hashem, and he's talking about the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim every day in Kriyas Shema. He says, "Hine Yitzias Mitzrayim haya tikkun gadol shenitkenu bo Yisrael, a rectification that took place for Am Yisrael at that time and for the world. V'nishar hadavar lanetzah, whose effect is everlasting, and we still got that effect today." And that benefits. He's going to explain. V'hainu, ki me'ahar heto shel Adam Arishon, after Adam sinned, nishar ha'enoshiyut kulo mekulkal. Mankind was damaged. It was not the same as before Adam sinned. He's going to explain. V'kimo shezachanu behelek rishon, v'haya hara midgaber bekulo, evil, yitzer hara, the site of tumah, became exceedingly powerful in the world, more so than the side of Kedusha. At shelo haya nimsa makom latov shehitchazek kelal. It was not possible for good, for Kedusha, to overpower the bad. That was the state of the world at that time. And that takes us from Adam all the way to Mitzrayim. That was the state of the world. And I don't need to tell you the history. You look in the Chumash, look what happened in Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, the Tower of Babel, and then Sdom. Generation after generation, failures. It seems that the world could not get hold of itself and overcome its problems. Ve'af al pi shenivrar Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom liyod hu v'zero l'Hashem. When Avraham Avinu was born, he was chosen by Hashem that his children should be the chosen people. Nibdalim mikol ha'umot, separate from all the nations of the world. Hine adayin lo haya lahem makom shehu l'itchazek. They didn't have a place where they could overpower the bad, the evil in the world, and the Kedusha should prevail. Well, it connects with the Hinatu Mashalamah. They didn't have a place where they're going to become a nation yet. They didn't have the opportunity to inherit the crown that Am Yisrael will inherit. Because the evil in the world, the tumor in the world was so great that it clouded over them. And the first filth. Chazal in many places call it Zuhamat HaNahash, the filth or the poison of the snake. And that entered into mankind and the whole world, and that changed mankind until Mitzrayim. Shelo Yatzu Mehem Adayim. By the time Avraham Avinu was in the world, that tumor had not been removed from the world, and that problem remained. Ve'alken Hutzrach Sheyiglu. Therefore, it was necessary to go into exile in Mitzrayim, ve'yishtabdu sham, and they should become slaves there. Ubeoto Sheyibud Hagadol, and in that great enslavement, Yitzorfu Kazahav, they would be purified, like you smelt gold, betoch hakur, in the furnace, ve'yitaharu, they will be purified. And therefore, that point in time, that tumah from the nachash at the beginning, and all that darkness and all that tumah is going to be removed from the world to some extent, that now mankind can now have a position of bechira, of freedom of choice, and he can choose good, and Am Yisrael will choose the good. When the time came that the world needed this change, not before, not a minute before, Chizek Ha'adon Baruch Hu et Hashpa'ato Ve'Ha'arato L'Israel. Hashem gave a koyach to Am Yisrael that they should be able to overcome all these problems. Not before, he didn't help them before because the time was not due. Ve'Kafa et Hara Lifnehem, he suppressed the evil in the world in order that Am Yisrael should be able to overcome it. Ve'Hibdil Otam Mimenu, and he separated Am Yisrael from the tumor. And he elevated Am Yisrael from the low madriga that they were at that time, and he raised them up towards him. And the redemption from Egypt was not just a physical redemption of leaving bondage behind and being free people. It was a spiritual redemption. We were redeemed from the Yetzer Hara, from the tumah that existed in the world. Umisham Bahala, and then onwards, Hukmu Leumash Lemare, became a nation, a complete nation. Devuka Bo Yisbarach, that they were attached to Hashem Yisbarach, Umitateret Bo, and they were crowned. Vehine Zetikun Shinitnu Leolamim, Kimoshu Zachanu. That effect is permanent in the world. You can't take that away. You can't reverse the world back to the 2,000 years of Tohu. Whatever good comes to Am Yisrael in the future was dependent on that turning point of Mitzrayim. Therefore, he said, we have a commandment to remember it all the time, because the magnitude of that change is something that affects us every day, and we've got to bear it in mind. We have the ability to overcome that tumor. Umatmi bohatoel, that benefit is constant, and nimshach min hatikunahu. The truth is, we need to understand what it was, the status of Adam before the sin, and the status of Adam after the sin. And he explains, and I'll say it in, I'll quickly say it without reading all the words of the Ramchal. He says, the ruchnius, the gashmius of Adam Arishan before the sin has no comparison to our ruchnius today. Imagine the gashmius of Adam compared to a yeshiva full of people learning Torah Lishma has no comparison to Adam sitting down to eat a meal. That was the greatness of Adam before the sin. Afterwards, all that was taken away. And he physically changed. Hazal tell us, his stature was diminished. The effect was so immense that he was physically changed. And everything around him, the world, physically changed. And of course, that took us through the 2,000 years of being in that status, so low status, until you needed Mitzrayim. Somehow one needed suffering in Mitzrayim. Question arises is, why go to Mitzrayim? Why do we need to be in Egypt? Of all the places in the world. Okay, the Torah tells us that Mitzrayim was Ervat Ha'aretz, the nakedness of the world, the most corrupt and the most immoral country in the world. And the place where there was the greatest concentration of Kishuv. And I'll tell you what the Ari HaKadosh explains. And the Ari HaKadosh tells us as follows. He says that when Adam was created, Hashem took earth from every part of the world, from every corner of the world. From every country, he took a bit of earth. He brought it to Eretz Israel. And there, in Har HaMoriah, where he was created, he took a bit from where the Mizbeach was going to be. And there he formed Adam. So, Adam has a shaychus, and so Klal Yisrael, with the entire world. Because we come from every corner of the world. When Adam sinned, Hashem Yisbarach, so to speak, allowed all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, that were in Adam, all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, he allowed the other side, the side of the tumah, the sotan, to come and take them prisoners. That means every sar, and there are 70 sar, there are 70 guardian angels for every nation of the world, each one came and claimed this bit. He said, that bit of Adam belongs to me. That one belongs to me. And those neshomas were taken to each respective country. And they're there in golos, as neshomas, in a spiritual golos, trapped in that tumah. So therefore, Hashem already, when Avraham Avinu comes to the world, he already promises him, your children are going to go and be enslaved. The reason, says the Ari HaKadosh, is obvious. We need to redeem these neshomas and bring them back to make the nation of Am Yisrael. They've been trapped for 2,000 years. Now is the time to come out. Why Mitzrayim? Why not England? Why not China? Why not Japan? Says the Ari HaKadosh. The head of Adam was in Mitzrayim. And the greatest neshamas of Klal Yisrael were trapped there. And that's why that golus was so important. Because the greatest neshamas of Klal Yisrael were trapped there, and that's what you've got to release now. And therefore, at that time, Mitzrayim was relevant. The truth is, Ari HaKadosh tells us in many places, that the reason we are in any particular country is because the time has come that in that country we're going to be mevarer. What the Sfas Emes in the Sedra, in this week's Sedra is called, the reason for God of Mitzrayim was to be mevarer in its oasis, to sift out the sparks of holiness that were there. Says the Ari HaKadosh, this happens in every country. And when it's necessary, we're in England. When it's necessary, we're in America. When it's necessary, we were in Poland. When it was necessary, we were in Spain. When the job is finished, that nation will throw you out. Or economically, you'll migrate away from there because the Eibishter will bring it about that you have no more job to do there. The difference between all the other exiles and the exile in Egypt, says the Ari HaKadosh, is very different. Egypt is the only place that we were totally redeemed. All the others, we were not totally redeemed. Bovel, so the power of Bovel declined as an empire. Jews were free to move. Another empire took over. It wasn't a redemption as such. So the Ari HaKadosh, the job was not finished in any country as such. Only in Mitzrayim, it was completely finished. That any neshama that was there that had to be released were born into the Jewish people that were being born in during the 210 years of Jewish presence in Mitzrayim. The neshamas that were trapped there were released and born into Jewish bodies. But any other country, the job is not complete. Therefore, says the Ari HaKadosh, there is a commandment. You are not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. There's no tachlis. There's no purpose. You've done the job there. You've got no shaykhus with that country. That's why the Torah puts an issur to go back to Mitzrayim. Whereas in other countries, there's still a few sparks there. There's still a shaykhus for a year to be there. There are some countries, as Ari HaKadosh, where the job is so minimal, you only need a Jew to travel through there. Make a bracha or something, the job is done, finished. Other countries have a greater concentration of neshamas, and the Klal Yisrael have to be there doing mitzvahs, learning Torah for a long period of time in order to achieve what needs to be achieved. That is the overview according to, without going into detail, because the Ari HaKadosh goes into minute detail of individuals and their roles in, that's too complicated. If I can look now at Galut Mitzrayim on a different dimension, on a more simple, down-to-earth dimension. And I see in the Michtam Meliyahu by Deshla, he tells us on a very simple level that what he explains is not applicable to Mitzrayim. It's applicable really, although he puts it into Mitzrayim, it's relevant to all Galuyot. And he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which tells us that Ovadia, the prophet Ovadia, was one of the minor prophets, but he was the one who prophesied the downfall of Esav, the archenemy of Klal Yisrael. And the downfall of Esav was left to this minor prophet to prophesy. Why, says the Gemara? He says, because this gentleman, Ovadia, was the servant of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, two terrible Rishoim, and we know the story that they tried to kill all the prophets of Hashem, and Ovadia hid them in caves and fed them and saved them. So the Gemara comes and says like this: let him who lived amongst two Rishoim but didn't learn from them and survived in his Yiddishkeit come and destroy the Rosha who lived among two Tzadikim, Esav, who comes from Yitzhak and Rivka and did not learn from them and remained a Rosha. So let the one who lived amongst two Rishoim come and destroy the one who lived among two Tzadikim and did not learn from them. Says the Rabbi Desla, he says, the whole purpose of Golus is to live amongst the tumor that you see all around you and understand how bad that way of life is, how bad that tumor is, and then appreciate what the Torah values are. You can't say that that's specific to Mitzrayim, although he puts it in the context of Mitzrayim, that I see it as relevant to every Golus. But except that at that time, just before receiving the Torah, before getting Matan Torah, Israel needed to appreciate what they're going to get. So in order to appreciate what the Torah value is, I'll let you see the worst of the rest of the world, so you can see how good Torah values are going to be. That's how Rabbi Desla. I'll finish off with a medrash from Tanad Veliyahu. Tanad Veliyahu says as follows. Kishayu Israel b'mitrayim, nitkapsu kulam v'yashbu yachat, mishum shayu kulam b'aguda achat. The Ben Ishai looks at this medrash and he says that Hashem made a chesed with Am Yisrael. Towards the end of the Golos Mitzrayim, Moshe comes, he is supposed to redeem, and the bondage, the slavery and the suffering intensifies. Says the Ben Ishai, there was a tremendous chesed in Klal Yisrael. What was the result of that? What this medrash is telling us. When Am Yisrael saw the intensification of that slavery, they got together, they had a public meeting one night, and they decided, what are we going to do? And they made a commitment to Hashem. What did they do? They bound themselves together as brothers and sisters. The kartu berit, and they made a covenant. Yachat, together. Sheyasu gemilut hasodim ze im ze. They're going to help each other. They're going to gemilut hasodim. Veyishmeru belibam berit Avraham, Yitzhak, veYaakov. And they're going to keep in their hearts. Even if the Egyptians doesn't allow us to keep it, in our hearts we will keep the covenant of our forefather, the Brit. Ve'la'avod et avihem shebashamayim levado. We will only pray to Hashem Yisbarach. Ve'shelo yanichu l'shon bet Yaakov avihem. We will never forget or abandon the language of our forefathers. Shelo yilmedu l'shon Mitzrayim. We will resist any attempt to be made an Egyptian. Mipene darke ovde lilim. Because we realize that they are idol worshippers and their ways are not refined ways. Says the Ben Ishai explains this a little bit graphically, and he says, in Mitzrayim, the Egyptians tried to demoralize the Jewish people so much and humiliate them so much that they decided they'll turn everything upside down. They'll take an elderly person and make him do the job of a young man. They'll take a young man and say, you do the job of the old person. They took a woman and said, you do the job of a man. They took a man, they said, you do the job of a woman. So you have no tachlis and no purpose. You're not achieving anything. And you won't be able to achieve anything. What did Klal Yisrael do at that moment? He says, don't worry. If an elderly man can only do 20 bricks a day, and a young man can do 100, and I've been given the job of I've been given the target of 20 as a young man, I will go and do the 80 that the elderly. So they shared everything together. In that way, they could survive. That's how he explains the method. It goes on. Ketzad, Kshayu Yisrael avdim et avihem shebashamayim levado b'mitzrayim, when Am Yisrael were praying only to Hashem, ve'lo hayu meshanim l'shanam, they wouldn't change their language. Hayu ha-mitzrim omrim lahem, the mitzrim would come and say to them, Lama lo ta'avdu et Elokei Mitzrayim? Why don't you join us in our worship? Ve'yakel avdato mikem, your work, your slavery will be lightened. Meshiv in Yisrael ve'omrim lahem, the Yidden would answer them, v'chi Hashem ma'azu Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov avotenu et Elokei Hashamayim, did our forefathers abandon our God in heaven? Sheyazu b'nehim, that their children should abandon their God? Ve'amru lahem mitzrim lad, the Mitzrim said, no, your forefathers were faithful. Amru lahem Israel, lo azvu avotenu et Elokei shebashamayim, ken anachnu lo na'azov ota. We will also determine. There was a determination. When they did the bris, they did a bris. They took a child, they're going to make a bris. The Egyptians are standing at the door and say, hey, we want this child going into the river. So the Yidden say, hold on, give me a few minutes, give me 5 minutes. I'll do the bris and you take him. So the Mitzrim said to the Yid, he says, what, you want to do a bris? We're going to throw him in the water. He says, I'll do my bit. What happens afterward is not my business. That's in the hands of the Eibishter. And if you have to throw him in the water, that's your business. But I'm doing my bit. I'm not going to break the covenant. To that extent was the determination. So, looking at it on a simple level, Mitzrayim had tremendous effects on the Jewish people. It made them determined. Even though in other places we see that the Yidden were idol worshippers like the Egyptians and many... First of all, we don't have to reconcile two midrashim together. But there is a possibility of reconciling. They didn't have Torah. They did not appreciate what it means not to do avodah zarah. But that doesn't mean that their connection to their forefathers and whatever their forefathers wanted, they did not abandon. They didn't, even according to those who say that they did whatever they did, they did not intermarry. Hazal make it very clear that Am Yisrael were pure. They had not been abused by the Egyptians. There's only one case where that happened. And the Torah singles it out. They did not change their outlook, their language, and they remained faithful Yidden in their way of understanding, in their situation. They never abandoned. And that, of course, is what keeps us going through every Golus. Says the Tzfas Emes. That was the root of Am Yisrael. We were not a nation yet. So that was the Shoresh. Even the Shoresh was built like that. The branches that come out of that root is what we are today. We're capable of surviving in any Golus.